Hobby's trip commanded Rhonda, chapter 2. So Anil Desai, in his college days in the US, in Stanford, he discovered a submissive fetishistic streak in his psyche that he loved to be spanked and whipped on his balls by female dominatrix. Copious fluid from sweet surrendered and ruined orgasms flowed from his penis, and he preferred to be kept in chastity by his stern, cruel mistresses. His secret file in the computer was having all the documentation. He never masturbated, but he saved his semen. And one day his petite, sexy, gorgeous, Goan personal assistant discovered the files. She studied in great detail and she found her two little nipples had hardened into titanium bullets underneath her corporate uniform. And her clit had also hardened, and her pussy was getting wet at the thought of a tall, strong, handsome sex symbol boss being smacked on his balls by a petite, angry girl, somewhat like herself only. She had to use her fingers on her clit to a gushing orgasm. Just thinking about it. Then she planned it deviously. Now, Anil Desai was definitely a practicing Hindu, and Rhonda D'Souza was a Roman Catholic Goan lady. But as she delved into the internet and became friendly with Anil Desai and his family members and their Durga temple, and she learned the legend of Durga and Kali, Durga who kicked male demons' ass into submission, and Kali who stood atop her own hubby's chest in a totally yogic pose, which was reminiscent of the femdom fetish called smothering. So, more she looked at it, she felt this cult of Durga worship, or Shakti cult, especially from Bengal in eastern India, was more attuned to her firebrand feminazi instincts. And she decided to enslave her boss and turn him into her personal slave boy. So she booked a hotel in the corporate account, a little far away from the city. And took a suite there, all from the company account, because she was authorized to do all these things on behalf of Anil, and sent an anonymous email from a created ID that I am a cruel Indian brown-skinned dominatrix, and I know your fetishes, little slave boy. I want to smank and smack and slap your balls while you beg for mercy and you come gushes of pre-cum in ruined, it dribbles out of your cock in ruined orgasm as you sit, as you lie with your heads held down behind your head and your cock in my hand, helplessly being smacked and smacked and smacked by your superior mistress. If you want such a experience, do send a mail and meet me at so and so hotel at suite number so and so. She made it a point to be in the room when Anil opened his private email, and she could see his hardening cock under his three-piece Savile Row suit, and his eyes widened in excitement, and he immediately asked her, "Miss D'Souza, can you please leave me? I got a very urgent email. I have to reply." "Of course, sir." She cutely wiggled the bottom and ran out of the room. But she knew she received that email answer within 5 minutes at her desk outside the cabin, and she knew the fish had taken the bait. So at a particular time, Anil entered a room which was half open, entered the dark, and he stripped naked, put on a blindfold, handcuffed himself to the bed, and lay down patiently. Suddenly, a masked stranger entered. She locked the door and she said, "Anil, you will be my perfect slave boy, and I own you. What do you say, slave boy?"
"Yes, mistress."
"I am thy queen, you worthless wimp."
"Yes, your majesty."
"I will now proceed to slap your balls." Without much ado, the little Goan girl picked up his 12-inch member easily, set it aside, and using a letter opener, started smacking his balls firmly but gently, cruelly but lovingly. Slowly, 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 Anil entered into subspace. He felt he was emasculated. He was denuded of his masculinity, his machismo, his malehood, and precum bubbled out and dribbled out. And again, she was controlling and raping his balls. He felt like a deflowered virgin on the wedding night. And a stronger, controlling, dominant force took the flower of his malehood. And he kept on murmuring, "Mistress, Queen, Majesty, ah, ah, mercy, slave boy craves thy indulgence. Thy humble slave boy craves thy indulgence, your Majesty. Thou art my ruler, my monarch, my sovereign. I bow in obedience, in subservience, in allegiance to thy lotus feet. I am like dirt beneath thy feet. Place thy foot on my neck, mistress, and take absolute ownership of me." In a firm voice, Rhonda told her boss. She had disguised her voice, you see. "I want to see a tattoo on your buttocks next time you come here, saying, 'Mistress's property.' On your left ass cheek, it will be typed in bold, 'Mistresses.' On your right ass cheek, it should come properly. Only then you present yourself. I am going out. You may close the door and leave the room. And everything has been videotaped. When I take a slave boy, I enslave him for life. And you will now wear this butt plug up your anus as a reminder of your slavery." "Yes, mistress." "And you will purchase a CB2000 chastity cock tamer, a cock lock, and on your next visit to New York, because I know you are going on the 19th. "Mistress, how does this thou know?" Slap, her hand shot out, and Anil felt another wave of misogynism, of humiliation, of surveillance. His penis erected inadvertently. "And you come back, I will be your keyholder, and you will be encased, and you will have no chance of masturbating or having sex. I will open your balls and spank you." "Yes, mistress." With that, she left that particular first day. By the time they had the second appointment, it was the 26th of the month, and he had flown down to New York, got himself a chastity cage, and came back to India and again presented himself humbly with blindfold and handcuff, and again the
masked Rhonda, repeatedly whipped his balls, and then she locked him. And he had been using the butt plug in a harness every day, and when he did his morning ablutions, after that he washed it and put it back. As his secretary, she was noticing his ass within his striped pants, and he knew that he had been faithful to her.